Hey everyone, this is Matt Wagstaff, and welcome to the Live Long and Prosper podcast, where I discuss a number of topics related to living a life of balance, abundance, and happiness. Much of what I share on this podcast is related to personal development, business, and financial literacy. I hope that this podcast is adding a tremendous amount of value to you, your loved ones, the community at large, and I hope that you will share this podcast with as many people as you know that will add value to their lives. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Okay. All right. Well, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the United States. Welcome to another special edition of the Live Long and Prosper podcast. I'm your host, Matt Wagstaff, aka Coach Matt Wagstaff, and I am here with the phenomenal, fabulous Miss Sharita Gross. Super happy, super excited to be here with you. This is a new opportunity for both of us, I believe, with the podcast digitally here via Zoom and with some guests here. So welcome everyone who is chiming in and looking forward to having more folks join potentially throughout our conversation. The Live Long and Prosper podcast is started as an experiment, podcast experiment, and we've had some great hosts or some great guests, I should say, over the last 2 years. And we're really about trying to share information around balance, life happiness, the pursuit of happiness, as well as professional development and entrepreneurship. And so today, we're going to talk a little bit about coaching, consulting, professional development. Have a little bit of fun here and discuss how a coach and or a consultant can support individuals in their pursuit of growth and professional development. And so here with me again is Miss Sharita Gross, excuse me, Dr. Sharita Gross, pardon. And so we want to make that very clear, Dr. Sharita Gross. For those who do not know who you are, can you please introduce yourself formally?
Sure. Thank you, Matt. Coach Matt, to be precise. I am Dr. Sharita Gross, as Matt has already said. And outside of my newly accepted role at City of Hope as a senior manager, I am a consultant and I specialize in holistic leadership, career, and professional development. So that could be for someone who's in high school, grades 9 through 12, undergraduate, graduate, doctoral student. You could be a veteran or 10 years away from retirement. And I'm still the kind of person that will be able to help you given my broad spectrum of skills. Currently, my focus really is on what I call career conversion. And it's something that Matt and I have discussed in the past. And a lot of people are finding themselves doing what we call pivoting. So rethinking your skill set and your giftings and how to apply them in different environments. And so what I'm focusing on, at least for the currently, is just looking at that particular aspect of people's professional background and helping them to basically use what they have to get what they want.
Excellent. Excellent. And so you talked about pivoting and holistic. I love those two words. We got to come back to those.
Okay.
So speaking of pivoting, we are still in a pandemic and we're on opposite ends of the continental United States. Mm-hmm. So you gotta tell the world and remind me of what's going on out there in California and how are you managing, surviving and thriving during this this COVID pandemic?
It's very different here. It seems like Rochester, New York was a lot more open at a much quicker pace. Sometimes I think that served to the community's benefit and sometimes not so much. But California just got to, I think it's called stage red, where they are just starting to talk about and negotiate reopening schools. Whereas I know Rochester had moments where it opened and then it closed and it reopened, I think in January of this year. So again, that's one of the main differences is that the schools are just really negotiating and starting to reopen. Also restaurants, you were able to only eat outside, and the restaurants with the going to the red zone or the red stage, you can now eat inside at limited capacity. That is different from Rochester where eating outside is no bueno, like at least 2 or 3 months ago, right? So there's that aspect. There's also a lot more people here. You know, LA County is a heavily populated area. So whereas we were seeing, unfortunately, hundreds, about maybe average of 250 people or more dying from COVID per day, with thousands of new cases cropping up, the number has decreased significantly. I think when I look today, because I subscribe to a listserv for LA County Public Health, I think we only had less than 50 deaths and a much smaller number of new cases. So it is very different here in that regard, but I think slowly but surely more people are getting vaccinated and less people are passing away from this unfortunate virus, so.
Yeah. And so how is Sharita managing through all this process here? I mean, California is beautiful. I tell my wife and I, we have these conversations, like California is the place to retire. I just got to stack up a couple more coins and be able to make it out there. That being said, I would love to know how somebody is personally, you know, maintaining mental balance and sanity, you know, being locked up for a year and some change.
Did you have to put the timestamp on it though? but you know, it's a really good question, and there's not necessarily a definitive answer. I think because it changes from day to day, frankly. Some of the mainstays though have been walking. I don't live too far from some beautiful places that a lot of people frequent. One of those places being like the Rose Bowl. So I might drive and park in that area and walk and try to do at least 4 miles a few times a week. So walking has been huge for me because I'm able to do that a lot more frequently in the California area. Sometimes having mini getaways with my sweetheart, you know, just going someplace that's not too far away, like maybe Palm Springs or something like that. I think meditating is good, and meditating could be a nap or it could be, you know, going and getting a manicure and pedicure, because that forces you to put your phone down and just focus on getting services. But I think the main thing for me for balance has been walking and just commuting with nature and spending time with my sweetheart, like I said. And also the other piece has been keeping in touch with those that I have unfortunately I'm not able to be with physically because they're on the East Coast. So doing Zoom calls, whether it's happy hour or just the check-in or just a phone call. So I think that keeping that connectivity has been really helpful and important, because it was already distance from the beginning with, you know, with COVID and how you can't really be as close to people. And now it's even more so being on the West Coast and people being on the East Coast. So like now it's 6 o'clock there. When it's in here, it's 3. So by the time it gets about 5 or 6 p.m. on this coast, if I haven't talked to people on the East Coast, it's a wrap. So really trying to creatively find ways to stay in touch. I do a lot more texting. So those have been my coping mechanisms. And really just paying attention to my body, right? Because sometimes, you know, there really is a such thing as COVID fatigue. So it's important to acknowledge that COVID fatigue is like any other type of fatigue. Some people can say I'm tired, and that could just mean they legit want to rest their eyes. But for others, it might mean I legit need to take a nap and just go to sleep for a few hours. So just really paying attention to my body and working through that piece, I think, has been important and key.
That's great. And just to clarify, a nap for 2 hours? That's called sleep.
We only got 30 minutes. We need to get to what the people want to talk about. That is my minimum, sir. If I can.
Awesome. So yeah, walking has definitely been something that I've taken up as well in terms of my mental sanity. Love walking along the pier and the beach, and we found several trails that we didn't even know even existed in this area. So walking, nature, huge. Meditation, at least 5 minutes a day, huge for your mental stability and sanity. So great. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it. And so let's talk about Ella Consulting. Give us the rundown. Ella Consulting, where did it come from? What is it? What does it do? What's your specialization? Let's talk through it. Let's talk about it.
Oh boy. Let me see if I can give the abbreviated version. So my maternal grandmother's name was Eloise Wade, and she went by Ella. So in many ways, she was the catalyst for me establishing Ella Consulting. I learned early on from her the importance of, and what servant leadership should look like and what it feels like to the people that you're helping. She would often go fishing, and then she'd bag up sunfish and catfish and all different kinds of tiny fish and put them in a bag and sell them for like $5 or $10 a piece. So all these people coming in and out or sitting on the porch and hanging out, and she'd sit with them and they'd talk and people watch. But it was a ministry. I learned as I got older, just to see her, to have people come in and out and talk to her and catch up. And sometimes she'd pray for them or just, you know, again, sit on the porch and people watch. She knew everything that was going on in the neighborhood because of it. And so I also wanted to honor her after losing her in 2014. I thought it was important to honor her by giving back in my own unique but invaluable way, not just to the Rochester community, but to other communities as well. And so when I talk about career conversion and having to pivot, I actually found myself in the same situation because I came out to Southern California in June of last year, and I was looking for jobs and looking and looking and applying and trying to network, but networking has been very challenging and different now because you can't just go and break bread or have coffee. Now you have to do it virtually. So sometimes it's a lot more labor intensive because now you're emailing back and forth, or you are calling and having, you know, different conversations. And then the beauty of it, but also more work, is that this person that you're talking to right now will say, we should talk to this person and that person. And you talk to those people and they tell you to talk to somebody else. So it's building a network, something which is usually hands-on. Now you're doing it in a hands-off manner. So in going through those things myself, I'm like, I know there's other people that have to pivot, and I'm almost tired of that word, but it's true, right? And so I wanted to be able to take my 2 or so decades of experience in workforce development, human services, and higher education, and leverage that to help people to look at their skill set with a different lens, a more critical eye, and really tap into what they could do either that they've done before or doing it in a different environment. And when I say the statement that I used earlier, using what you have to get what you want, I truly mean that, because I think a lot of times we feel like we have to go back to school, or you got to get this additional certifications. And sometimes you do, right? Sometimes there is a skill gap, but there's also cost-effective ways to do that. So part of what I want to do is help somebody to go from the beginning to end of evolving professionally. One of the things I want us to do during this call is to, or podcast, excuse me, is to make sure that there's a distinction between what Coach Matt Wagstaff does or what a coach does versus what I do. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that now. So people have a really good idea, because we both provide an invaluable service to whomever decides to work with us. So I use the analogy of a football player. So you have somebody who is athletically inclined, and they're like, I think I want to do golf, or maybe I want to be a football player. So I would probably be the best person for that individual to work with, because they have the athletic ability and they think they want to actually use it on the field, right? Or on a golf course, but they could actually very well be a coach instead, right? Or they could be a physical trainer. So what I would probably do with somebody like that is look at their resume, cover letter, how they're marketing themselves on social media platforms, look at what kind of resources they're using to help them to get to where they want to go professionally. But first we have to do an assessment, because without an assessment, it's like getting in the car and not really having an idea of where you want to go. Now you just sit in the car looking around like, bro, where are we going, right? Everybody's hungry. We don't know where we're going to go eat. So once you actually have a destination, that will be helpful in looking at the other pieces, such as how you're marketing yourself, again, resume, cover letter, and other ways that you market yourself. And believe it or not, people don't want to really look at this, but Facebook is also part of your marketability. There are companies and organizations that are hired specifically to look at your social media and see how you're representing yourself, because in turn, you're representing that company or organization. So I would look at all those things with that individual and come up with a plan of action. That plan of action might roll out over the course of 8 weeks or 12 weeks. And for some people, it might just be a couple sessions. For example, if they're saying, I know I need help with interviewing and how I'm marketing myself, so we can focus on those two areas. Now, if that same individual who has an athletic ability says, I am a football player, but I actually want to become an NFL coach, but I'm having some issues with, you know, figuring out how to get there, some anxiety or feeling some, you know, things that might be aligned with imposter syndrome, and I don't know how to get past that. They would be a perfect person to go to Matt, because they already know who they are to an extent or what they want to do, but they just need somebody to give them some clarity and identify how they're going to achieve what they deem as success. And if I'm incorrect here, Matt, just certainly chime in and help me to refine that further. But I think that's important for people to understand that we both provide invaluable services to a client, but they're different in how we approach it and how we carry out that consulting.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, your definition is definitely it's an interesting definition. I like the analogy, the sports analogy. I think a lot of people can resonate with that and mm-hmm. stick to that definition. In terms of that clarity piece is huge. So my definition of a consultant versus a coach, there's a clear distinction there. Before I give my definition of it, would you consider yourself to be a coach or a consultant or a coach sultan, as I'm hearing these days? There's a coach consultant I'm hearing. And I actually do a little bit of that, I think, sometimes as well.
I would say I'm a consultant because I also go into the area of consulting for businesses. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm looking at other situations where I might be working directly for an employer and helping them with specific items like teaching their staff different techniques or different strategies for employment or career development.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's great that you called out that. So from a coach to a consultant standpoint, for anyone who's listening, so my definition is that, or to simply put it this way, a consultant comes with the best version of themselves and offer solutions to their clients. The coach brings out the best of the other person and asks a lot of good questions, simply put. And so those are essentially, to me, the simple way, the distinction between the two. As a coach, I already believe that my client has the answers within them. I believe that they have a opportunity or a problem that they're faced with. And but I also believe that they have the solution. And so it's my job to provide the framework to help them think through how they're going to get to the finish line. Whereas I believe a consultant is hired really to help solve the problems by giving some recommendations and some solutions. So they're hired because of their knowledge and their expertise in a certain field. Mm-hmm. A coach, in my mind, doesn't necessarily need to be an expert in a specific functional area. They need to be able to be curious, naturally curious, they have to have a general passion for people and their development, and actually believe that the person is going to achieve what they're trying to achieve. But also a coach needs to be stern when they need to be stern and also hold them very, very accountable. And so I provide a framework for people to go through their process in a way that works best for them. I don't impose my own deadlines or my own goals on individuals. They create their own plan through my framework, which is really what a coach is there to do. And so I often tell my clients to say, coaching doesn't work unless you do. And so at the end of the day, I'm here to support whatever goals you have, but at the same time, they are your goals and I'm gonna hold you to what you say you are going to do, but you have to do them. Whereas a consultant will give you the blueprint, so to speak, and say, hey, these are the things you need to do. And they could also hold you accountable, but at the end of the day, they get paid to provide some really good advice. And you're supposed to trust that advice is legit because you hired that person because they have that skill set. So that's the distinction that I like to make, because a lot of folks will come to me and they'll say, hey, I need to know how to do social media marketing, or I need to know how to do something, another skill. I need to know how to budget, or I need to know how to improve my credit, for example. And I say, well, I'm not a consultant in that space. We can talk through that. If there's some challenges that you're facing, we can absolutely work through what those are. What are your values? What are your goals? And then how can we get you from A to Z? But I'm not here to be a consultant. Now, if you want me to be your consultant, we could talk about that. But if you want me to be your coach, that's a different process. And then one other distinction is around a therapist. And so therapy really looks in the past and looks at that past trauma. And whereas a coach is looking at how do you bring you to the future, how we look forward. We may address some past trauma and some past concerns or limiting beliefs, but we're going to leverage that in order to move forward. So we won't stay in the past for too long, but we will, we'll address it as we need to move forward. So that's the distinction that I try to make with a lot of people when they come to me and they think they need help, but I just try to make sure it's clear in terms of what type of help I'm able to provide. And so what at this moment in time for your business, as a career coach or consultant, what are you most excited about where you are right now? And because you are starting a new venture as an entrepreneur. Congratulations.
Thanks.
What are you most excited about at this moment in time?
I think it would be just being able to help people in an invaluable way. And, you know, along those lines, I had an opportunity to look at the survey that we have people to fill out. And just seeing some of the people's responses about their biggest challenges and being able to take the challenge and really make it something that's not so much a challenge, it's actually a growth area. Because that's part of what career consulting to me is as well. It's wordsmithing. It's not a play on words because you're not being dishonest about a situation, but I think what you speak or what you put into the atmosphere energy-wise, that also impacts your process. Right. So I do think it's important to look at the past as it relates to professional or even personal development, because some things that people do or don't accomplish or pursue is due to some things they've sustained over the course of their life on a personal level. If you don't mind, Matt, can I just go into what somebody had put in the survey?
Yeah, let's do it.
So one of the things that somebody had talked about, they said that they wanted to step into a supervisory role and that they recently graduated from Roberts Wesleyan with a degree in organizational management. And they're looking to utilize what they've learned along with life experiences. I think that's a legit challenge that some people might have, because a lot of times we do go back to school, as I did and as you've done even, Matt, and with the intent of being able to grow professionally, there's a couple different things that play. I think one of the main things is looking at your environment and really looking at whether it's time to fight or flight. And what I mean by that is sometimes there might not be a growth opportunity where you are. You might want it to be, but it just might not happen either because that organization doesn't have the financial bandwidth to put you where you want to be, or there's just not enough of advocacy for you to actually be put where you want to be. So it's really important to assess the reality of that situation. I spent 12 years in a place that I really, really loved, but the reality was it was time for me to stop fighting and go into flight and leave. Because I had gone through having my job description revised and had been given different tweaks and turns to my job description that really didn't give me the supervisory or budgetary experience that I wanted or needed. And I had volunteered myself to death to try to get that experience in other environments. So I was able to assess in a very finite time period whether or not that was a thing for me to do. So really, I think the first step is to look at whether or not it's realistic for you to get a supervisory role where you are. I think the second part is to talk to your leadership. And again, you have to gauge that person, their personality, how they engage or don't engage with you, but making your plan very clear and planning to work said plan. And, you know, give yourself a finite period and say, okay, listen, I am not going to stay in this position longer than X amount of weeks or months, right? And if nothing happens, then you know what the next step of your plan is. So I think that outside of really assessing your environment, talking to your leadership, if it is a comfortable situation and doing that, also giving yourself a timeline, because before you know it, you can look up and it's been 10 more years and you're still in the same role. And what that can end up doing is pigeonholing you and keeping you from moving the way that you want to. So those would be my preliminary steps. If you're looking to go into a supervisory role, even with an advanced education, sometimes you could still end up experiencing some hurdles or adversity when trying to move up. I wanted to pause here too and just see if anybody who's on the call or the podcast has any questions they want to put in the chat. There was somebody who tried to get into the room and I did admit them, but then they dropped off. So I'm not exactly sure, but I want to again be cognizant of the time and respectful of everybody who decided to join us today. Are there any questions or anything you want myself or Matt to address for you? Okay, doesn't look like we have anything in the chat. Anything else, Matt, that you wanted to cover or talk about today?
Yeah, you know, going back to that last question, I think that's a really interesting question. I think a lot of people are trying to figure out what their next move is going to be, regardless of where they are. So there's some folks who are trying to figure out their next career move because things just because of the economy and the situation with the pandemic, a lot of folks have been forced out of their current career and need to pivot. But then there's also the opportunity now, because a lot of people are able to work from home and work out of state into different areas, that they've opened up more doors. And so I think that what you shared in terms of understanding what your environment is and what the realities are, we call that the GROW, part of the GROW framework, where you look at what your goals are. The G is goals. So what is your goal? Are you trying to be a supervisor? Great. All right. When do you want to be a supervisor? So that time period that you laid out there, where do you need to be? Where do you want to be a supervisor in? Is there a specific industry that you have an interest in? Mm-hmm. What type of company do you want to work for? Great. Awesome. Next is, what is the reality, right? So what's your current reality in terms of your network, your skills? Do you have the skills to be a supervisor? Let's be real with ourselves, right? And say, mm-hmm. okay, what are those skills and what's the reality where there's a gap? Then we lay out, you know, what are some of the obstacles that are getting in the way and what are some of the options in order to overcome some of those obstacles? So, okay, there's some mental obstacles, there may be some physical obstacles, some emotional obstacles, some skill set obstacles that you need to get over. What are our options? And then lastly, the W is, you know, what are you willing to do today mm-hmm. in order to make that happen, right? In order to say yes to something, you got to say no to something else. Unfortunately, life has trade-offs. So life, people want to have their cake and eat it too, but unfortunately there are trade-offs that we all have to make. So the W is, what are you willing to do in order to make your dreams come true? And so that would be my sort of the framework that I will work through with somebody in that situation. And so with that being said, I would like to offer up to you, is there anything that anyone who is thinking of coaching or consulting needs to have in mind, or if they're on the fence in terms of, is this the right investment at this time? Whatever that investment may be, is this the right investment for me? Give me a little bit of your thoughts in terms of the return on investment for a career coach or consultant for someone coming to Ella.
So I think that what is really important to bear in mind is we invest in a lot of different things. So it could be, you know, when it comes to, for women, it could be the aesthetics. So our nails, our hair, or it could be a workout regimen. A lot of people are buying weighted hula hoops, right, that are bejeweled and everything. It could be a personal trainer, or it could be dietary supplements. So I look at coaching as another area of self-care. Because looking for a job, how it makes you feel on a day-to-day, working in a job where you don't feel like your potential is really being fulfilled and your dreams are not being really met, it can breed stresses that will impact you physically and or mentally, that impacts your sleep, that impacts your skin, it impacts your interest in being social, et cetera, right? And so if you want those things to change, and those things are all interrelated as I just described them, then this is an investment towards that. And to me, a good consultant will be able to take what you have identified as your major issue or issues, plural, identify also a good timeline for you that will adjust to something that you feel is feasible fiscally. And I think that in some regards, it's almost like you get what you pay for. So you can probably find somebody that will coach you in the areas that myself or Matt coaches people in for maybe $25 or $50 per hour. But do they have the depth of experience that we do? Do they have the degrees that we do? And this is not to throw shade or to discount anybody else. However, the fields that we represent and the experiences that we have, I think, lend themselves to really giving people the best ROI, return on investment. So I would look at it as being something that's part of your self-care regimen, because if you're unhappy enough to where you have come to a consultant and says, I'm thinking about getting somebody to help me with this, that means that you understand that that's not your lane. And that's the first step, is admitting, I don't know how to do this. And I'm just trying, like when I thought about doing my website, I was like, I'm not about to get on Wix. That is not my ministry. I'm not about to sit here and lose my edges when I know God there. Come on, Jesus. I know it's somebody that knows how to do this better than me, because I don't have the patience or the bandwidth, because I was also looking for a full-time job. So I think there's also that piece that it can take the stress off of you and maybe help you to come up with a more defined and refined plan to take some steps towards your success or where you want to be, because it can get overwhelming when you're looking mm-hmm. for a job when you have a job. So it's a little bit easier, they say, to look for a job when you have one, or when you don't have a job and you're looking. Both situations have different types of stress. And if you have a plan that can also give you a checklist, that could be really helpful to you. And that can help you to execute it a lot better and see it as more doable, as opposed to this gargantuan task. It could just be like, now you're just chipping away at the mountain as opposed to trying to scale the whole thing at one time. And you have an accountability partner. That is part of what I tell people out of the gate. I tell them straight up, I'm going to be an accountability partner. And so what that means is I'm going to check in with you, and I'm going to expect for us to have something to talk about that's of substance. I'm going to expect you to do some work, because while I'll give you the blueprint, I'm not going to do it for you. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's empowerment. Part of what I want to give my clients is to empower them with the ability to not only maintain their intellectual property, meaning you do your resume, you save it to a thumb drive, you don't ever have to wait for somebody to update your resume again, because I've seen that over and over again, right? And also just knowing how to properly market yourself on your own and not having that second doubt where now, whereas we like first start, if I'm just starting as your consultant, we might touch base a little bit more. We might have some touch points that are more frequent, like maybe once every other week or something like that. Whereas now you can just make the decisions on your own because you organically know who you are, what you're doing, and why. Verbalize your skill set. And that's one of the ultimate goals, right? Is for you to be self-sufficient, empowered, and able to verbalize those skills, not just on paper, but when you're speaking to somebody who could be a prospective employer.
100% empowerment. That is the absolute goal, I would say, especially from a coaching standpoint. And so I think you nailed it right on the head. I would also add to say that when individuals come to me and they say, I need a coach, I ask them flat out, one, how much is it worth to you to mm-hmm. have this? Mm-hmm. And so I let them tell me, right? And so I need to understand what is the value of this experience going to be for you? And then what is the risk of us, of you not doing anything? How much will that cost you in terms of time, energy, and dollars? And so I'm huge on freedom. Like that's like probably my core value is freedom and the ability to own my time. And so for someone who is struggling, they are spending a lot of time spinning their wheels. And so I try to help them understand that the cost of doing nothing at this moment is that you're going to continue to spin your wheels and not and be frustrated. You know, how much is that worth to you? And so when you talk about that mental sanity and you talk about that, you know, really checking in with yourself and making sure that you are as part of your self-care, it's huge. It's huge. And then the feeling of empowerment that you mentioned in terms of just creating the framework and creating those triggers or those points for the person to say, okay, when I was talking to Dr. Gross, she gave me some tips. And so now I can go back to them when I have the same situation in the future. I mean, that's phenomenal, right? That saves them a ton of time, mental capacity later in life. And so I think you nailed it right on the head. So thank you so much for that, those nuggets there. That's really helpful.
Not a problem.
So for anybody who is trying to connect with you, please let them know how they can contact Dr. Sharita Gross.
They can contact me at Sharita, so Sharitta, at Ella-Consulting, so Ella-Consulting.com. That goes directly to my email address. Once they email me, then I can send them my Calendly link, because I do have the ability or capability for people to schedule 15-minute discovery calls or longer if need be for other opportunities for us to, you know, collaborate. I also am on Instagram as Ella Consulting. So I'm working still on my Facebook page, landing page, and my website. So for now, Instagram is the way to go to follow me. But those are the two main ways to actually get in touch with me.
All right. So email her, follow her on Instagram, mm-hmm. stay tuned for the other digital assets that she is creating. Congratulations on all of your progress and congratulations on the entrepreneur journey. I'm sure that you're going to help so many people with the knowledge and the skills that you bring to the table. So I appreciate our time today. I'm hoping that others receive value from it as well. Is there any last words of encouragement or advice that you would want to share with anyone who's listening?
Oh boy. If I can, you can, pretty much. I mean, that sounds kind of cheesy, right? But if I can, in the middle of a pandemic, pick up and leave everything that I've ever known, much of what I love, move across the country and start over from scratch, start over with my network, my professional endeavors, and start over from scratch at 44 years old, there is very little that you cannot do as an individual. Really, it's a matter of you getting out of your own way and really allowing yourself to experience whatever process is going to be that you're going to go through. I do want to say before we wrap up is, to me, it's also important to have a collaborative spirit too, which I think, again, is another benefit of having a coach or a consultant to work with. And so along those lines, I decided that I wanted to contribute to Matt's business because I think that what he's doing is phenomenal and it's needed. And I know several people that are in the situation where they kind of know what they want to do. They just need a little bit more refinement to their success plan or some clarity. So my plan was to surprise one or two people that are on this podcast with one coaching session with Matt. And so since I see Deanna Edwards on here, it is hers. So I will reach out to Deanna and I will give her your information, Matt, and she will let me know when she schedules it, or you can let me know and I will pay for her to have an hour with you. I know Deanna personally. She is an entrepreneur, a community servant, and very active professionally. I am proud to know her and to be able to give this to her. So I definitely think that this will be beneficial. It doesn't mean that you can't work with me now, Dee, but I'm just saying.
that's a fact.
However, I just think it's important to have that collaborative spirit and to, you know, in honor of Women's History Month, to help a woman who has a business. Deanna actually started a photography business. So, right. You know, so there's that. And I know she's also been involved in coaching or, creating and managing step off competitions. So there's so many different things that she's capable of doing. I can only imagine what your conversation is going to be like, but I know that she has goals. I know that she's very clear in those goals, but I know that she also has a path that she'd like to take. So again, Deanna, I'm happy to assist you in any way that I can. And she's also doing her master's program because she's a little crazy just like me. So we will work together on that. I will give her your website, Matt. Does your website have the capability to schedule their
not on the website, but she can reach out to me and I'm pretty easy to make something happen for. So we got it.
Okay. All right. Yes. So I will give her your information and thank you in advance for being of assistance to Deanna.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so very much for just supporting and connecting us. So I appreciate that a ton. So again, everyone listening, please follow Ella Consulting on Instagram and email Dr. Sharita Gross if you have any questions and you want to get connected around career consulting and helping you pivot and shift in this job market that we have out here today. I look forward to the next time we are able to connect, and till the next time, live long and prosper.
Hi again. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to another episode of the Live Long and Prosper podcast. As always, I hope that this podcast is adding a tremendous amount of value to you, your loved ones, and the community at large. Please, if you have not done so already, remember to subscribe to this podcast just to make sure you get all the latest notifications when we have a new episode. And if this is adding value to your life, as we hope it is, please share it with as many people as you think it will serve. Until the next time, everyone, live long and prosper.